This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. Forget dark alleys and cemeteries. For some, the gym is the scariest place of all, but it doesn't have to be. With a personalized plan and expert coaching, Anytime Fitness can help make the gym less frightening. Get more for your gym membership than machines. Get personalized support anytime, anywhere. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Today is Monday, September 14th, 2020. On this day in 1972, 15-year-old Iko Koo was murdered by notorious serial killer Ed Kemper, also known as the Co-Ed Killer. Kemper would go on to kill five more victims before he was finally apprehended. Welcome to Today in True Crime, a Parcast original. Due to the graphic nature of today's crimes, listener discretion is advised. Extreme caution is advised for listeners under 13. Today we're covering the murder of 15-year-old Iko Koo. Let's go back to Berkeley, California, just as the sun began to set. Iko paced in front of the bus station, checking her watch. Her dance class had already begun, and she hated being late. Her single mother worked overtime to be able to send her, and each missed class was like a dagger to her heart. She had to make it as quickly as possible. After a few more minutes, Iko decided she was done waiting. Even though her mother had advised against it, she stuck out her thumb and started walking along the side of the road. She didn't have to wait long before a car pulled up beside her. A man with large glasses and a thick mustache rolled down the window. He looked extraordinarily tall. Iko had no idea how he'd crammed into the tiny vehicle. But though his stature was intimidating, his voice was calm and friendly. After hesitating for just a moment, Iko hopped inside the car. She told him she was going to San Francisco, and he agreed to take her the whole way. While they drove, the man started talking. He introduced himself as Ed and quickly drew Iko into a pleasant conversation. He was so friendly that Iko almost didn't notice that they'd somehow gotten turned around. They were going north when they should have been headed south. Iko mentioned the mistake to Ed, and he grew silent. As he sat in the driver's seat completely in control, Iko suddenly realized the danger she was in. Tears filled her eyes, and she begged Ed not to harm her. At this, Ed reached below his seat, pulled out a .357 Magnum, and jammed the gun into her ribs. He told her to be quiet. He pulled the car down a side road, then into a secluded section of the forest. As the car stopped, he explained himself. He claimed he was suicidal. He had picked Iko up, intending to kill her and then kill himself so he didn't have to die alone. But after talking to her, she was so nice, he couldn't hurt her. He wouldn't hurt her. He just wanted someone to talk to. Iko was stunned. The man in front of her was terrifying, but he was also clearly sad. She knew what that was like. She was happy to let him talk. The two of them sat in the car for some time as the giant man unloaded his feelings. The young girl listened with sympathy, sometimes even reaching out to pat his back. The more he talked, the safer she felt, but she felt too safe for her own good. When Ed finished talking, he suggested that Iko let him tie her up and put her in the trunk. He said he would take her home, he just didn't want to get in trouble. It would be better if the police couldn't see him driving with a young girl, because they would assume she had been kidnapped. Iko thought about it for a second, then agreed. She would let Ed tie her up. Ed stepped out of the car and opened the trunk, pulling out the rope and duct tape. He came back to the front and pulled on the door, but it was locked. The keys were in the ignition. The gun was on the front seat. Iko was inside while Ed was outside. For a brief moment, Iko was nearly free. But Ed had opened up to her. He made her feel safe. So she reached over to the driver's side door and pulled up the lock. Ed smiled. Coming up, Ed pounces.
Hey, listeners, I want to take a quick moment to introduce you to the newest Parcast original on the block. It's called Incredible Feats, and it's a short weekday show hosted by comedian Dan Cummins. Every weekday, Dan shares a true account of physical strength, mental focus, or genuine bizarre behavior, going behind the scenes and into the achievements of world-class athletes like Dean Karnazes, who once ran for nearly 81 hours without stopping, and performance artists like Lucky Diamond Rich, who boasts layers of tattoos in the most unlikely places, and even everyday people thrown into extraordinary circumstances, like Juliana Kopka, who was forced to survive alone in a rainforest for 11 days. Incredible Feats is offbeat entertainment that's sometimes weird, sometimes wonderful, and always surprising. New episodes air daily, Monday through Friday. Search Incredible Feats and follow free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now, back to the story. On September 14, 1972, 15-year-old Iko Ku hitched a ride with Ed Kemper, the notorious co-ed killer. Despite pulling a gun on Iko, Ed convinced the girl that he had no intention of hurting her. He was so convincing that Iko let him back in the car after he accidentally locked himself out. Ed sat on the car seat, relieved. He looked at Iko for a moment, so young and trusting. Then he lunged. It wasn't much of a fight. Ed was 6'9" tall and weighed over 300 pounds. Iko was a 15-year-old girl. With his massive hands, Ed strangled Iko's throat until she fell unconscious. He then sexually assaulted her, and when she woke up, he strangled her again until she stopped breathing for good. When Iko was dead, Ed placed her body in his trunk. Thrilled with the kill, he drove to one of his favorite bars to celebrate. He checked a second time to make sure she was dead before he went inside. Ed drank 3 beers, taking his time savoring the feeling. Then he went back outside and opened the trunk once more. This time, he ogled her corpse, as he later put it, like a fisherman admiring his catch. Ed drove back to his apartment that night and hauled Iko's body upstairs. There, he took pornographic photos, had sex with her corpse, and spent 4 hours dismembering her body. He disposed of the mutilated parts by burying them in isolated locations in the Santa Cruz Mountains, but he left her head in his trunk as a memento, even keeping it there when he visited his court-appointed psychiatrist. At his very next appointment, Ed convinced his therapist that he was no longer a threat to society. He was an expert manipulator. Iko Ku's body was never found. She was Ed Kemper's 5th victim, and she was far from his last. On January 7th, 1973, Ed Kemper killed 18-year-old college student Cindy Shaw. A month later, he picked up a 23-year-old woman named Rosalind Thorpe, along with her 20-year-old friend, Allison Liu. He shot both women and later dissected their corpses. Finally, on April 20th, 1973, Ed killed the ultimate source of his rage, his own mother. He mutilated her body like the others, going so far as to remove her vocal cords and put them in the garbage disposal. It was a symbolic act, punishing her for the nagging voice that had plagued him since he was a young child. That same night, he invited his mother's closest friend over, 59-year-old Sarah Hallett, to surprise his mother. The real surprise was for Sarah, who ended up being Ed's 10th victim. After Sarah was dead, Ed went on the run, driving 3 days across secluded back roads all the way to Colorado. But soon he decided that he wasn't cut out for a life on the lam and turned himself in to the police. It was perhaps a bit anticlimactic, but it officially marked the end of the co-ed killer's reign of terror. Ed was deemed criminally insane, found guilty on 8 counts of murder, and sentenced to life in a maximum security mental health facility, where he stays to this day. Thanks for listening to Today in True Crime. I'm Vanessa Richardson. If you enjoyed this episode on the murder of Iko Ku, be sure to check out our serial killers episodes on Edmund Kemper, where we do a deeper dive into the madness of the co-ed killer. Today in True Crime is a Parcast original. You can find more episodes of Today in True Crime and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify. Not only does Spotify already have all of your favorite music, but now Spotify is making it easy for you to enjoy all of your favorite Parcast originals, like Today in True Crime, for free from your phone, desktop, or smart speaker. To stream Today in True Crime on Spotify, just open the app and type Today in True Crime in the search bar. At Parcast, we're grateful for you, our listeners. You allow us to do what we love. Let us know how we're doing. Reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow in True Crime. Today in True Crime was created by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. It is executive produced by Max Cutler, sound designed by Juan Borda, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Joshua Kern. This episode of Today in True Crime was written by Giles Hovseth, with writing assistance by Terrell Wells. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Hey, Parcasters, don't forget to check out the brand new Spotify original from Parcast, Incredible Feats. Join host Dan Cummins as he explores true accounts of weird, wonderful, and all-out wild achievements. New episodes premiere daily Monday through Friday. Search Incredible Feats and follow free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.